I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the true story of Jim and Kristen Durgan, a married couple destined for disaster.
It's almost like there's this magnet drawing them back together.
It's a twisting tale of double betrayal.
He did not tell her at that time that he was married.
Overpowering lust.
He was a boy toy. There was an 18-year age difference.
And the dangerous addiction that will destroy them all.
She would lie and say, this is the last time, which of course it never was.
Beware. Extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. It's the summer of 2000 in Salida, Colorado. The picturesque Rocky Mountain Resort is home to Jim and Kristen Durgan, married for 8 years with 2 young children.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
29-year-old Jim is the all-American husband and father.
Jim Durgan was about 6 foot tall, 180 pounds. He had kind of that cute teddy bear look.
He has a successful career as a telecom engineer.
Jim is this really great catch, a fabulous provider, a good husband, a good father.
And his 32-year-old wife, Kristen, appears to be his perfect match.
Kristen also brought a lot to this marriage. She was the attractive, beautiful blonde wife, loved her 2 children. She certainly was somewhat of a trophy wife.
You're gonna take the kids to the park today?
To the outside world, Jim and Kristen seem to have it all. But appearances can be deceiving. By late summer of 2000, all is not well in the Durgan household. For starters, Jim is never around.
Jim's work with a telecommunications company required that he traveled a lot. He was on the road 90% of the time.
After they had children, that travel became a strain in the relationship between Jim and Kristen. Having Jim gone so much became very difficult for them.
For the vivacious but needy housewife, the lack of attention doesn't sit well.
Kristen was the daughter of a multimillionaire. Her dad gave her anything she wanted. She was daddy's little girl.
Kristen came from great wealth. Developmentally, this can create problems. A person can feel very entitled in life because they're not really used to reality. They've been raised in a bubble.
Now, 8 years into her marriage, Kristen is feeling neglected and alone.
I think she got to the point in their relationship where she felt like she was a single parent.
To fight off her boredom, Kristen turns to a favorite pastime that will have devastating consequences for her family. No one knows, the young wife and mother has fallen back into the grip of a dangerous habit.
Kristen Durgan was a gambling addict.
When Jim was away, she would often go to Cripple Creek and gamble, and she was starting to amass quite a debt.
She preferred to go to the casinos in New Mexico because there were no limits on the betting in New Mexico. It was more like Las Vegas.
Kristen's passion for gambling began long before her marriage to Jim.
Kristen started gambling when she was 16 years old. She started playing in Las Vegas with her parents. She looked old enough to play, and so she did. And that was when it all started.
For years, Jim has been trying desperately to help his wife get her habit under control.
When Jim would confront Kristen, she, in typical addict form, would lie and say, "I'll change. I'll do anything. I promise this is the last time," which, of course, it never was.
But Jim's deepest fear is for his children. Because when it comes to gambling, Kristen has proven she'll stop at nothing to get her fix.
Just call me back. I just want to make sure the kids are okay, all right?
She left the children in the car while she went inside and gambled. And the Department of Human Services got involved.
Jim stayed with Kristen because he felt obligated to the children. And I really do think he loved her.
By the start of 2001, the constant struggles with Kristen's addiction leave Jim beleaguered and restless. It seems that the outwardly perfect husband and father has secrets of his own. While he's on the road, Jim's been spending time online, trying to meet women.
In early 2001, he's in Wyoming and he answers an online personal ad.
Jim may be simply looking for a little fun and a brief escape from the drama of his marriage, almost 600 miles away in Salida. But when his mystery date shows up, he has no idea what fate has in store for him. Her name is Tara.
Tara is very pretty. She has dark hair. She's almost the polar opposite in looks from Kristen.
Tara was a really wonderful person, very sweet and innocent. Tara lived in Wyoming, and she was a legal secretary and looking for someone to have a romantic relationship with.
Right away, Jim can't help but be struck by the contrast between the fun-loving 22-year-old secretary and his wife.
Jim was attracted to Tara because Tara was almost the opposite of Kristen. Tara was very upbeat, very sparkly personality, where Kristen was more melancholy.
Tara had her life together. Perhaps Jim was looking for something other than what he had, and he found that in Tara.
In fact, Jim is so smitten that he can't bring himself to tell Tara the truth.
He did not tell her at that time that he was married. He didn't tell her he had children.
For the next few days, while Jim's still in town with work, the pair continue seeing each other whenever they can. And it isn't long before they give themselves over to their intense mutual attraction.
They had a connection, an almost immediate connection, and they were very close, very quickly.
Jim loses himself in Tara's warm and sensual embrace.
For Jim, he gets to escape his real life, which has turned into a real hell. And it just feels so powerful in a way he never experienced before.
As for Tara, she can't believe her luck in meeting this wonderful man who is the answer to her prayers.
For Tara, Jim is perfection. Jim is the person she's been waiting for her whole entire life. So when they are together, she savors every moment, every touch that they experience together.
But Tara has no idea that her exciting new relationship is built on a foundation of lies. The unhappily married man is playing with fire. But who will be the one to get burned? It's 2003 in Salida, Colorado, and for the past 2 years, Jim Durgan has been carrying on a secret affair with Tara behind his wife Kristen's back. And because Tara lives in Wyoming, Jim is able to protect his guilty secret from both women and lead a double life.
He was always traveling, and so he just had to tell one that he was going on a business trip or tell the other. It's the perfect cover for an affair.
Jim appears to be just as crazy about her as she is for him, and Tara's hoping that he'll soon pop the question.
The relationship was getting serious. She thought he was a single man, and so she pursued the relationship.
But her hopes for a future together are about to be crushed. By the start of 2003, Jim can sense what Tara is hoping for and realizes he can't lie to her any longer.
Tara.
What?
We gotta talk.
Then he told her the truth.
Tara, I'm married. I'm married and I have two kids.
In an instant, Tara's romantic visions go up in flames.
She was very upset. She was mortified because she didn't want to have an affair with a married man.
Please, just listen to me. I'm in love with you.
I can't do this.
Tara! Tara!
Jim doesn't want to end their relationship. He thinks they can work it out.
He just felt like he had this bond with her and he needed to come clean with her because he wanted to be a part of her life.
But for Tara, that's simply not an option. Not only is her once perfect relationship based on a terrible lie, she now has to deal with the shame of being the other woman.
Tara was very heartbroken when Jim confessed, and she immediately broke off the relationship.
With Tara's anger and disappointment still ringing in his ears, Jim beats a forlorn retreat back to his family home in Salida. All this time, Kristen has never once suspected Jim of cheating, and he means to keep it that way. For the next 3 years, Jim stays with Kristen as they attempt to work on their fragile marriage, on one condition.
He told Kristen she had to go into rehab.
In May 2005, she enters a 30-day rehab program for her gambling addiction in Taos, New Mexico.
She seems determined to kick her habit once and for all. But by the fall of 2006, a year and a half after rehab, Jim is shocked when he discovers that his wife has been lying to him about her supposed recovery.
I told you I don't want to talk about
this. Kristen, we're talking about this. I'm talking to you. Listen.
Jim found out that the money that he was giving Kristen for household bills and to take care of day-to-day stuff was actually being spent on gambling.
And that's not all.
The credit cards are all maxed out.
I know.
Jim got a message that his credit card had been maxed out and was no longer valid. And so that's how he finds out that Kristen is using the credit card for her gambling addiction.
But the worst is yet to come.
Nobody's paid the mortgage in 3 months.
He finds out that they're about $40,000 in debt and they're about to lose their house.
It's the final straw for gentle Jim.
Good.
Fine.
At this point, he's very irate because he's the one working and making all the money, and she's just spending, 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 and gambling it away.
To Kristen's dismay, it seems that her husband is done with her for good.
Around Thanksgiving 2006, Jim starts to talk about divorce. He actually packs a bag. He moves out of the house.
Once he's gone, Jim finally feels like he can breathe again. and immediately his thoughts turned to his former mistress, Tara. But what Jim's forgetting is that happily ever after only happens in fairy tales. And his next move will put them all on a collision course with mayhem and murder.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
It's December 2006 in Salida, Colorado, and Jim Durgin has just walked out on his wife, Kristen. He can't stop thinking about his ex-lover, Tara, who dumped him after she found out he was married. Kristen, a chronic gambling addict, knows nothing about Tara. But she does know that she wants her husband back.
She's gone from her parents' cushy home to being married. So this is not a woman who knows what it's like to be on her own. So the thought of being abandoned is frightening.
It seems as if Jim's tumultuous marriage is finally behind him. But just days later, Jim does something completely unexpected. He returns to Kristen.
Jim moved out for a week, but I think he really wanted to make the marriage work for the sake of the children.
By the beginning of the year, he's come home. It was a rather short-lived burst of, I want a divorce.
He tells her he's had a change of heart and wants to stay together.
If we're gonna make this thing work,
but some fundamental changes need to happen.
I know. I realize my mistake.
For starters, his spoiled wife will finally have to contribute to the family finances.
Jim felt that all the idle time that she had on her hands was also contributing to her gambling problem.
I get lonely. I don't know what else to do. You're gone for weeks at a time.
So he told her that she had to get a job.
You're going to pay that money back.
Kristen agrees to his demands, and they decide to try one more time. But Jim knows his marriage won't stand a chance if she ever finds out about his former relationship with Tara. After all, Kristen still loves Jim. If she knew he cheated on her, it would destroy her. And she's volatile enough as it is. Jim returns to his job on the road. He tries to forget all about Tara, and concentrate on his marriage. And at the start of 2007, instead of hitting the tables, the once-spoiled daddy's girl gets her first job waiting on them.
She went out and found a waitress job at a pizza restaurant.
For the first time in years, the Durgans are starting to function like a normal family again. But Kristen's about to meet someone who will turn their world upside down. In early 2007, the pizza parlor where she works recruits a new driver. His name is Andy.
Andy.
Nice to meet you, Andy.
Nice to meet you, too.
Andy Tanner is 21 years old at the time. Sandy blonde hair. He kind of looked like the all-American boy. When you looked at him, you thought apple pie and baseball.
Cougar Kristen can't help but notice the hot young stud. She goes out of her way to befriend him.
She's now 39 when she meets Andy, and they become very good friends.
Well, what do you do when you're not here?
I try to live my life.
But as Kristen and Andy grow closer, they find they have more in common than just pizza. In fact, they share a delicious but dangerous habit.
Like what?
To go to the casino is always fun, you know?
Casino, huh?
Andy also enjoys gambling, and that is their biggest thing in common. They both like to play cards and gamble away all their money.
We should go to the casino sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe we can win it big and then get out of this place.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Getting closer to him reawakens Kristen's demons, which she's managed to resist since she and Jim got back together. She knows if she gambles again, her marriage is over. But she can't help being attracted to Andy. Over the next few months, the sexual tension between the hot young delivery guy and the older waitress only gets more electric. Finally, one evening when Jim is away, Kristen and Andy can't hold back any longer.
In January of 2008, Kristen and Andy are intimate with each other. It starts very suddenly, and it moves very fast.
The desperate housewife is suddenly supercharged with desire.
I think for Kristen, the excitement had to be the huge age difference. And she's roping in this pretty nice-looking young guy, so she's still got it. She's still got the stuff.
And for Kristen and Andy, sex is much like their compulsive gambling. Once they start, there's no stopping them.
They were constantly having sex.
They both feel like they've hit the jackpot. Throughout the first few months of 2008, Kristen and Andy carry on their illicit affair.
That relationship between Andy and Kristen developed pretty quickly, and because Jim wasn't present, they had quite a bit of time to spend together.
For Kristen, Andy is the perfect partner in crime.
With Andy, she could be irresponsible. She could go gamble. They could go gamble together. Andy, I think, offered her a lifestyle that she could not have with Jim.
It's the first time in years Kristen is hearing yes instead of no. And that's the greatest thrill of all.
He's present, which for her is a step up over Jim. And he isn't trying to stop her from gambling. He tells her she can do whatever she wants. And that is so different from Jim.
But Kristen's about to get busted.
Because Jim was never home, Andy would spend a lot of his free time over at the house.
She's so used to having Jim gone for weeks on end, she becomes increasingly careless about hiding her new relationship.
Andy came over to the house after the kids had gone to sleep.
Jim came back to Salida.
And Andy was actually living in the house.
Oh, this is perfect.
What are you doing
here? This is
here?
Great. In my house, Kristen.
What are you doing
in my house? What am I doing? What does it matter? Who is this guy?
You're supposed to be away.
Jim is furious, and the situation threatens to spiral out of control.
I'm going to take everything.
Jim and Andy had an altercation at the Durgan residence.
You're never here.
Don't tell me.
I think it was an affront to Jim that Andy was 21 years old. He was a boy toy for Kristen. There was an 18-year age difference.
Sit down, man.
Whoa, man. Don't push me, all right?
This is my house. I don't know what you think you're doing here.
The long-suffering husband finally snaps.
In March of 2008, Jim and Kristen separate. They're done.
He files for divorce a short time after.
Now that Jim has finally escaped the viper's nest of his marriage, there's only one place he wants to be. He drives to Wyoming and begs Tara for another chance. To his relief, she's willing to hear him out.
Tara held out hope that Jim would someday leave Kristen and that they could get back together.
For Tara, it's a fresh start with the love of her life.
Tara's pretty happy at this point because she feels like Jim is her best friend and her soulmate, and it looks like they're finally going to get together.
Over the next few weeks, throughout the spring of 2008, Jim and Tara start putting the painful past behind them and rebuild their relationship.
Everything about this relationship for Jim and Tara was fulfilling. You could see that they were totally in sync with one another, and that's what happens when two people who are right find each other.
Back in Salida, it seems that Kristen has found happiness too.
Kristen moves Andy into the house in Salida. They were talking about moving forward and having a future together.
A provisional divorce settlement is reached between Kristen and Jim that both parties seem happy with.
In the divorce agreement, Jim is willing to give Kristen half of his 401k. Kristen is allowed to stay in the house as long as the kids are under 18. And when they become adults, she will sell the house, and that money will be used for the kids' college education.
Although the divorce won't be finalized for several more months, the Durgans seem to have escaped the toxic mess of their 16-year relationship, and they both look to be much better for it. But neither of them is prepared for what happens next.
The weekend after Mother's Day, 2008, Kristen and Jim took the children on a family trip to Denver.
In spite of their difficult past, old feelings and attractions rise to the surface.
Kristen said that Jim and Kristen ended up sleeping together with each other again. It's almost like there's this magnet drawing them back together.
Anybody that's been together for almost two decades, there's an attachment, a dependence on one another. It's not uncommon for couples, once they divorce, to then have great sex together.
It seems that Kristen and Jim Durgan can't survive either with or without each other. But by now, they're not the only people who stand to get hurt by their dysfunctional relationship. For starters, Kristen's hot-headed young lover, Andy, could lose it if he gets wind of her cheating. But it's Jim who's done the most damage, betraying Tara not once, but twice with Kristen. And if Tara finds out, the consequences could be murderous. It's 2008 in Salida, Colorado, and Kristen and Jim Durgan are going through a painful divorce. But now, when they least expected it, they've cheated on their new partners with each other. And if either one of them finds out, the jealousy mixed with betrayal could be lethal. On July 10th, Jim Durgan leaves the home that he now shares with his new girlfriend Tara in Wyoming. He's bound for Canyon City, Colorado.
He had rented a hotel room in Canyon City. From there, the next morning, Jim was supposed to arrive in Salida. He had a dental appointment with the family dentist.
After the dentist appointment, he was going to pick up his two children, drive them back to Canyon City, where Jim was going to spend the weekend and then return to Wyoming.
But on July 11th, the Salida Police Department receives a call from a frantic Kristen Durgan.
Hi, yes, I'd like to report a missing person.
Jim never showed up for the dentist appointment, and he never showed up to pick up the kids.
Something's wrong. He's not the type of person to do that, and I'm really worried.
Initially, the officer attempts to calm her down.
When the police picked the report, I think there wasn't a sense of urgency. They didn't really see it as an immediate emergency.
I don't know.
But Kristen won't be placated.
I understand, but he didn't come pick up his kids, and that's not like
him. She's pretty upset. She is very adamant with police that this is not like him to leave his children hanging like that. Something's got to be really wrong.
A missing persons report is filed. The following day, detectives interview Kristen.
Kristen told police the last time she had spoke to him was the night before at approximately 7:45. During their last conversation, Jim had checked into the hotel and he was headed out the door to go get something to eat. And that was the last time she spoke to him.
Detectives reassure Kristen that Jim will most likely turn up safe and sound. But the days tick by and there's still no sign of him.
At that point, he was still a missing person. He could have just gotten tired of it all and ran off to Tahiti, and we just didn't know.
Then, on July 19th, a pair of kayakers paddling along the Arkansas River makes a gruesome discovery.
Two kayakers discover a body at the Parkdale Bridge. The body was badly decomposed. It had obviously been in the river for several days. They needed help identifying this person.
Sets of dental records are obtained to try to match the remains to a number of local missing persons. And soon enough, Kristen gets the news she's been dreading for days.
Dental records were compared and confirmed that the body we'd recovered from the river was that of Jim Durgan.
Autopsy is conducted to determine the cause of death.
During the autopsy, inside of the skull, two .22 caliber bullets were found.
They were able to determine that Jim had been shot three times in the head and that was the cause of his death. He'd been shot before being placed into the river.
So it's official. Jim Durgan was murdered. But who would have wanted to harm the gentle father of two? For answers, detectives start by revisiting the dead man's devastated wife, Kristen. The two had recently reached a divorce settlement and were waiting for the final papers.
We went to interview Kristen in order to get details and facts, what their relationship was like.
They discover that Kristen and Jim both had new partners. In fact, they learned that Jim had moved to Wyoming to be with his girlfriend, Tara. But Kristen has a further shocking revelation for the police, that she and Jim had slept with each other again just a few months ago. And this new information casts Jim's girlfriend in the harsh light of suspicion. Could Tara have found out about Jim's betrayal and sought a terrible revenge? Is she a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Anytime you have romantic relationships, then someone goes missing in that context, you're going to look at all of the individuals involved.
Tara was interviewed by one of our captains.
She was several hours drive away in Wyoming. She and Jim were building a life together. He had just moved into her condo, so there was really no motive for Tara to have harmed Jim in any way.
And where were you when he came up missing?
I was home in Wyoming.
Tara's alibi holds up. And investigators see no reason to tell her about Jim's supposed betrayal with Kristen. After all, Kristen could have made it up. The grieving young woman is soon in the clear. But when police ask Tara whether she knows of anyone who might have wanted Jim dead, she doesn't hesitate to point them towards one of the other players in this sordid drama, Kristen's young lover, Andy. Because according to Tara, Jim and Andy hated each other.
No, you sit down, man.
Whoa, man.
Police are by now drowning in rumors and conjecture. and they're no closer to catching Jim's killer. But this tangled tale of passion, jealousy, and lover's revenge is about to take even more shocking twists. It's July 2008 in Salida, Colorado, and police are frantically tracking the murderer of 37-year-old Jim Durgan, who was found dead a week earlier. Detectives have been tipped off to take a closer look at Andy Tanner, the young lover of Jim's separated wife, Kristen. They start with his phone records.
Police check Andy's phone records, and they discover several calls made on July 10th and 11th to a man by the name of Brian Folsom.
To police, this is a red flag. Brian is already known by local law enforcement.
Brian Folsom was 29 years old. He was a meth addict. He had been convicted of an armed robbery. He was a parolee.
And that's not all.
He had actually been a former employee of the restaurant where Andy worked.
Police call Brian down to the station to find out what he knows. Soon enough, the longtime criminal cracks.
Brian told us that he had been hired to kidnap Jim from Highway 50.
Brian says he had agreed to this on condition of payment from a friend of his.
Brian was paid $1,500 by Andy Tanner.
Get in the car.
But Brian insists that he doesn't know what happened to Jim after that.
That was the end of Brian's involvement.
Did Kristen's jealous lover decide it was time to get Jim out of the picture once and for all? Armed with this new information from Brian, police bring Kristen back for further questioning before they go to arrest Andy. But when she comes into the precinct, she's not alone.
Kristen's father was present during that interview.
Kristen's father has come to his daughter's aid once more, and he's right by her side when she makes a shocking admission. She tells police that back in June of 2008, plagued with guilt about her one-night stand with Jim in Denver, Kristen confessed to Andy about what happened.
I didn't mean for it to happen, it just did.
She knew at the time that he was furious, but it was only a month later in July that she discovered just how upset Andy was about her betrayal.
She tells them that Andy has confessed to her that he killed Jim. She says Andy told her that he killed Jim because he was jealous of their one-night stand in May, and he wants Kristen all to himself.
The police have a bombshell of their own. While investigating Andy, they've also been checking Kristen's story. And what they've learned has given them a very different idea of why Jim Durgan was killed.
They got a background information about her relationship with Jim, the pending divorce.
We discovered that Kristen was not happy about the settlement before the divorce became final. Kristen was his main beneficiary on his life insurance, his retirement plan, his 401k. She would have ended up receiving pretty close to $1 million. After the divorce, she would have ended up with about $60,000.
And it turns out that Kristen Durgan desperately needs this money. Police have turned up one more critical detail about Jim's grieving widow.
Kristen was gambling again.
It was apparent from the investigation that Kristen did have a serious problem with gambling, that she had gone back to gambling very quickly after rehab efforts. It was impacting her financial situation.
The majority of that settlement would have probably had to have been spent on debts.
Police confront Kristen with all of this information about the life insurance and the inheritance and all of these indicators that show that Kristen was involved in Jim's death.
This is fair.
In the interview, the tide swiftly turns.
Oh.
At a dramatic moment, the father appears to come to realize that his daughter, Kristen, was involved in Jim's disappearance and murder. And the father tells Kristen in no uncertain terms that if she was involved in this, that she needs to come clean and confess to the detectives. The father then leaves the interview, leaves her there with the detectives.
Daddy's little girl, Kristen, has finally run out of people to hide behind, and the shock of her father walking out on her for good proves pivotal.
She caves, and she admits that, yes, she was involved in murdering her husband.
And that he was left there until Andy got off work, and Andy was going to be the one that was going to get on.
Police now have confessions from Brian Folsom and Kristen Durgan, but Andy Tanner insists that he's innocent. All three are now arrested and charged with murder. Kristen and Brian enter into plea agreements with the district attorney's office in exchange for their testimony against Andy. And in August 2009, the case comes to trial. The horrific details of the crime are made public. Having already cut her deal, Kristen testifies at length and lays bare Andy's role in the murder for the jury.
A couple of weeks earlier, Kristen and Andy started making plans to kill Jim.
And Kristen knew just how to get Jim to walk into the trap by using his beloved children as bait.
Kristen called Jim and says that her vehicle is broken down in the canyon between Salida and Canyon City, and he needed to come and help her.
But when the loyal father arrived at the remote spot, he realized too late that it was a deadly ambush.
Who are you? Get in the car.
Brian Folsom grabs Jim and tells him, I've got a knife, you're coming with me, and drives him to this very remote wooded area.
He took Jim up into the mountains, secured Jim to a tree, using handcuffs, duct tape, and phone wire. And after doing that, he went back to Salida, provided Andy with a map to Jim's location.
Kristen says Andy later described to her how he went in search of his quarry. Jim Durgan was a sitting duck.
You messed up.
You don't have to do this.
Shut up.
Let him go.
Shut up.
Andy starts talking to Jim, and he said, I'm going to kill you. Do you have any final words for your children? And Jim said, please tell the kids that I want them to grow up and be happy.
But Andy was unmoved.
Andy shot Jim in the head, and to be sure, he shot him twice more.
He wrapped Jim's body in plastic trash bags, put Jim's body in the river, and let the body go.
The prosecution lays out the motive for the murder.
In early September, the divorce was going to be final.
It was important that Jim's body be found so that they could get the life insurance payout.
Perhaps the most chilling thing of all is Kristen Durgan's demeanor on the witness stand.
I was present for the trial, and Kristen's testimony was the creepiest thing I have ever seen in my entire life. She spoke of planning to kill her husband like most people speak about the leftovers in the fridge. She didn't care that her children were essentially orphans.
Kristen's testimony proves to be the nail in the coffin for her former lover, Andy. On September 2nd, 2009, the jury returns the verdict.
Andrew Tanner was found guilty of first-degree murder and kidnapping.
Many lives were destroyed by Kristen Durgan's insatiable thirst for gambling and her murderous greed.
Tara was just a nice person. She certainly didn't deserve her experience in this case.
I think Andy Tanner was malleable. He bended to her will. I think that Andy's passions got him into trouble, and that Kristen was the perfect person to lead him there.
But an innocent man paid the heaviest price of all.
Kristen Durgan, I believe, is evil, absolute evil. She took the father of her children away from the children. And because what she did, those children also lost their mother. Their lives were damaged forever.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.